الله الرحمن الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. There is an incident mentioned in the books of Hadith that once there were three people that were traveling, and there happened to be a storm. These three people, they went and took refuge in one cave. They thought that when the storm subsides, they would come out of the cave and they would continue with their journey. While they were inside the cave, there was a huge rock that came and blocked the entrance of the cave. And these three people were stranded even more. First, they were stranded with the storms. They took refuge in the cave. They went in the cave and they got stranded even more, because they will not be able to come out of this cave. Obviously, no sufficient air is coming in, no water supply, no food supply, and until that boulder will move out from the way, they will not be able to come out. It's a matter of life and death. So those three of them decided that now it is only Almighty Allah Ta'ala that can help us. In this situation, nobody can help us in this world. Outward and apparently, we cannot do anything. We are now completely left at the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. It is only Allah that can take us out from this difficulty and hardship. Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran Kareem also, when people are stranded, they're in a state of desperation, who is there to help? Who is there to listen to the dua and the call of a desperate person? He says, أَمَّ يَجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءُ. Who is there to answer the call of a desperate person? And who is there to remove the evil and the obstacle from the path of a person who is stranded? Nobody but Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. In another verse, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala tells us, قُلْ مَنْ يُنَجِّيكُمْ مِنْ ظُلُمَاتِ الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ تَدْعُونَهُ تَدَرُّعًا وَخُفْيَةً. When you are traveling in the seas, you are traveling in the oceans, and you are stranded in the seas and in the oceans, huge, huge, gigantic waves, all the creatures of the sea, nobody is there to help you and assist you. Who is there to help you and assist you and give you najat and freedom when you are trapped in the center of the ocean? Nobody but Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. When a person is put into a situation where there's nobody to help him, then it is natural for a human being at that time to turn out to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and make dua to Allah to remove the difficulty and hardship. Every human being by nature, he understands, he knows from within his heart that there is a superior being above him. And his life has been controlled by the superior being, and that is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So these three people, while they were traveling and the storm broke out, they took refuge in a cave. And a huge boulder came and blocked the entrance of the cave. They all three decided, now we are left to the mercy of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and only Allah can remove us from this difficulty and hardship. They decided now to turn to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and to make dua to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And also, if they have done any good deed in the past, present that good deed to Allah and ask Allah in lieu of the good deed to remove the difficulty and hardship. Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran Kareem, يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وابتغوا إليه الوسيلة. Oh, you who believe, fear Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And when you will reach Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, then adopt a means or adopt a wasila. And one understanding of wasila is that if you have done any good deed, present that good deed to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala and ask Allah to accept you or remove any difficulty and hardship in lieu of the good deed that you have done. So the first person, he makes dua to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. He says, oh Allah, you know that I have elderly parents, they're aged parents, and I used to come home late at night, and before attending to my children, before attending to my wife, I would first go and attend to my parents. He should take a glass of milk, present it to them. And one day, he happened to come very, very late. And the parents were asleep. He said, oh Allah, you know that my children were crying because they were also very hungry. My wife also wanted something to eat. But I did not want to pay attention to my wife and my children before I pay attention to my aged parents. I took a glass of milk and I stood by their side. I did not even want to wake them up from the sleep, to disturb them from their sleep. And when they woke up, then I presented to them their glass of milk. And only after they were fulfilled and satiated, I paid attention to my wife and my children. Oh Allah, if I have done this good deed solely to please you, then I ask you in lieu of this good deed to remove this difficulty and hardship from our way. It is mentioned in the hadith that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala accepted the dua of this person that was trapped in the cave, and that rock moved a little bit. The second person, he makes dua to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, Allah, you know that I had a cousin sister. She was very, very good looking and very, very beautiful. One day, she was in need of money. She came up to me to ask me for some money. I told to her, I will advance you the money on condition that you give me access to you. You allow me to become intimate with you. Then only I will give you the money. This girl was desperate. She was a chaste woman, a chaste girl. No man had touched her. But because of the state of desperation, now she was forced to unclothe herself and give me access just because she could attain the money in that way. He said, oh Allah, you know that when I was on that girl, at that time, a person cannot resist. His desires are very, very high. It's now just a matter of fulfilling his passion and his desire. And whilst I was on that girl, my cousin sister, even at that stage, she pleaded to me and she told to me that if you want to be intimate with me, then be intimate in the legal way, not the illegal way. Do not commit zina and adultery with me. He said, oh Allah, at that time, when my passion was so high, there was no obstacle for me to fulfill my passion and my desire with her. I resisted and I came out of that woman. I respected her view, her chastity and her honor. Oh Allah, if I have done this to please you, solely for your pleasure and your ridwan, then remove us from the difficulty and hardship and remove the boulder from in front. It is mentioned in the hadith, Allah accepted the dua of this person as well. And the boulder moved even more, but not sufficient enough for the people to come out of the cave. The third person, he makes dua to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, Allah, I am a very wealthy person. You have given me so much of wealth. Once I have contracted an employee. a person working for me. He worked for me for some time, and one day, without taking the remuneration, the wages or the fees, he had left. And in his absence, I took his money and I invested it. I got one sheep, and then from sheep, one sheep, another sheep, and another sheep, and another sheep, until I had a flock of sheep. And from the flock of sheep, I invested even more, and I got cattle for this person. After some time, my ex-employee came up to me, and he told to me, "Fear Allah. Give me my money that you owe me." I told to him, "Yes, the flock of sheep, yes, all the cattle, everything is for yours, take it and go." My ex-employee told me, "Don't make a joke out of me. You don't owe me all that. All I'm asking for you, from you, is the fees that you owe me. Not all the sheep and all this. This is not something that you owe me. Why are you making a joke out of me?" He said, "Oh Allah, I told that person that all the sheep and all the cattle, it is from the money that I owed you. I invested the money, and all this now belongs to you. It doesn't belong to me." He said, "Oh Allah, I have given everything over that person to that person, and that person happily took it and went away. If I have done this solely to please you, for your happiness, oh Allah, you remove us from this difficulty and the hardship." It is mentioned in the hadith, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala accepted his dua as well. And the boulder that was in front moved even more, sufficient enough now for all three people to come out from the cave. From this we understand this incident. It's a plain and simple incident, but there's so many things that we understand from this. First and foremost, we should never regard any act of ours to be insignificant. Any khair, any good that we can do, we should always do it. Never regard any good act to be small and insignificant. We don't know which act of ours will be accepted in the sight of Allah, and it will become a means of invoking the mercy of Allah upon us and removing some of our difficulties and our hardships. A mu'min is such that whenever he gets a mawqa to do any kind of khidmat, to help the people out, he never withdraws from that, he goes forward and he helps people out. That is a sign of a good heartedness of a person. And this Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem, "Inna Allah la yudhi'u ajra al-muhsinin." Whatever good a person does, it never ever gets wasted. This guarantee Allah tabarak wa ta'ala gives us. At times, we will benefit with our good deeds, maybe in the dunya. It is mentioned in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "As-sadaqatu tudfi'u ghadab ar-rab." When a person gives sadaqah, and sadaqah is not only confined to some monetary contribution that a person makes. One is that the person got excess money, he takes it and he gives it to a madrasa, masjid, or any good Islamic institution, he gives it to that. But sadaqah is not confined to that. Any good deed that a person does, as it is a sign of truthfulness of an iman, it's a sadaqah of an iman, and that is why every good deed is called sadaqah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Kullu ma'roofin sadaqah." Every ma'roof or every good deed, that itself is sadaqah. So no person should regard any good deed to be small, insignificant. And whatever good a person does, it removes the anger of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, give sadaqah. And sadaqah again, not confined to monetary contribution, any good that a person does. In fact, in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that if a person is married and he takes a morsel of food and he puts it in the mouth of his wife, that is also sadaqah. Sahaba mentioned, "Oh Prophet of Allah, this the person is enjoying." So, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that this is also sadaqah. When a person becomes intimate with his wife, that is also sadaqah, because it's fulfilling the haq of the wife. Sahaba mentioned, "Oh Prophet of Allah, this again the person is enjoying." Nabi Sallallahu mentioned that what if he did not fulfill his passion with his wife and he fulfilled it in the wrong avenue. The fact he fulfilled his passion with his wife, he abstained from the wrong avenue, that alone is also sadaqah. Every good deed is sadaqah. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi mentioned, when a person, he does any good deed, sadaqah, and if there's any bala or any musibah to come on the person's way, with the barakat of this good deed, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala remove that bala and the musibah from the way of the person. So, wherever we get any opportunity, anything we see, sometimes probably as we come out of the masjid, we see somebody's shoe is not right. Regard that to be an act of virtue, straighten the shoes up. Or, for example, wherever we come out, we probably see somebody wants some help and assistance. Somebody probably wants a ride home. That's sadaqah. We go home now after the tarawih, the wife is not feeling well, and to make the khidmat of the wife, that is also sadaqah. Unfortunately, some men are such that when they enter the house, they enter like a lion, and when they come out of the house, they come out like a tiger. That's not nice. Right? We first sadaqah starts at home. Ghar ke andar mein achhai ka maamla hai. Be good to everybody in the house. Good to our friends, good to our associates. Wherever you can benefit any one of mankind, not only mankind, even if you benefit animals, that could be a means of your najat. The incident is very clear in the hadith. One woman who was very immoral, she was a zaniya, committing zina all the time. She happened to pass a well, and she saw that there was a dog that was panting for breath, very, very thirsty. When she saw the dog, she was a woman that used to commit sin. But when she saw the dog, she thought to herself that this dog is thirsty. I quench my thirst. How the dog must be feeling. She takes out a leather sock, she puts it inside the well, and she draws water out. And she goes by the dog and opens the mouth of the dog and put droplets of water inside the mouth of a dog. This act of this woman was so beloved in the sight of Allah that Allah accepted it, and this became a means of forgiveness for that woman who was immoral. On the contrary, there was one woman, she was a very outwardly pious woman, but she had a cat in the house. She would tie the cat up. She wouldn't give the cat food. And she wouldn't even leave the cat free, so that at least the cat would eat from the creatures of the ground. When she died, Allah punished her for that. Because she was hard and she was bad, or she was not considerate for the feeding of a cat. So whatever khair we can do, good we can do, whether it's human beings, animals, Muslims, non-Muslims. In one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi mentioned that in every liver, kisi ke andar mein koi bhi jigar ho, whether it's a human being or whether it's an animal, whatever khair and good you do to that, there's sadaqah and there's goodness for the person in that. And we just don't know what will be a means of our najat in the akhirah. So whenever we get opportunity, month of Ramadan, train ourselves up. The time comes for iftar, the food is in front of us, we're also hungry, but you see somebody haven't got the food nearby, so pass it over to train ourselves all the time to be a good-hearted person. And this is among Muslims is important, but it's more important also now to be show our good character and conduct to even non-Muslims. Show them who we are. We are not that type of people who generally people think about and the media is portraying about. Show them that we are good people. And it is with this good akhlaq and good character, whatever favors we do to them, we can win them over to the fold of Islam. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayah and make us very good-hearted people. Outwardly, our ibadah is weak, everything is weak, but who knows, we be good to people and we show clean-heartedness to people, this act of ours may be good, is accepted by Allah, it becomes a means of najat for us in the akhirah.